Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Paco Romaine.
And I am George Chen.
And you're listening to What's Up?
This is the show we do that is part of the regular show, but it's not the regular show. It doesn't get a number. It's just, we tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
What is catch up, you up indeed?
On, yeah, what is sup, indeed? What is sup?
It's, what is soup?
What is soup?
It's not chowder. Is chowder a soup?
Yeah. Chowder's a soup.
Could we call this what's chowder?
We could have said what's chowder, which would have confused pretty much everybody.
I think we can start calling
Let me ask you a question, George. Let me ask you a question.
Fire away. I love answering questions.
If you were to do... Yes, you do. I know that about you. If you... what other podcast would you do? If
you had a choice
to do like...
Topic-wise?
I mean, just like... Topic-wise, yeah.
Yeah, my version of like a junior Marc Maron kind of interview show with people I knew from music. Sure. And all those are still up. They're up at, like, if you look up Zum Podcast, they're still up there. I have 2 episodes sitting in the can that I have not edited that are over a year old now from, like, right before I moved. Mm-hmm. So I might put those out soon. I just need time to edit them. Right. I'm not going to say who they are, but yeah.
But you already have that one. Like,
true. I do have that one already.
Is there another topic that just really, like, you know?
I am jealous of Doughboys, honestly, because they just eat junk food. Yeah. And that's all I really am interested in is eating.
Right.
I mean, I think there's a lot of food podcasts right now.
You're such a small, you're not big, you're not fat.
I'm constantly condensing it into the worst shits imaginable.
Okay.
like that critter on Futurama. I think food, probably a food related thing, because that's it, which is weirdly, it's such a visual thing. Like, that's why Bourdain and stuff is good, because like you can really just see,
you can smell it through the TV.
Like, I haven't really gotten into like, I know some people that are food writers, like, my friend Sarah Hahn is now like a food writer for Berkeley Side. But you know, I wish I had kind of gotten into, my dad always recommended that I get into food writing, because he was like, like, you know, you'll never go hungry if you're a food writer.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. I mean, I did music writing and like of the ephemeral things. Right. It'd be nice to have documentation of some nice meals that I had back in the day, but, instead of weird descriptions of like noise bands playing at the Hemlock, which is pretty much what I did.
Did you ever hear Pencil Neck?
Is that a band?
That noise band?
Nah.
Yeah, out of Chicago.
Pencil Neck. I don't think I know that.
Yeah.
Did you go see them in Chicago?
Neck. Yeah. With, it's a guy's name, Big Noise Guy out of Chicago.
An individual guy, Big Noise Guy out of Chicago.
It's like R. Norquest? No, fuck. Yeah, I used to go, like, I had some friends in Kalamazoo that moved to Chicago, and Fat Sack. They started, like, these noise bands because they would open for the Boredoms.
Oh, yeah. I love the Boredoms.
Ken Nordine. Oh, you know him?
I know Ken Nordine's material. I have met Ken Nordine's daughter. She went to SFAI. Oh. I know some friends of mine. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I love Ken Nordine.
Yeah, so they would... They were in his band. They would play with him.
Oh, neat.
With Ken Nordine.
Yeah. There's a whole Chicago noise scene that exists that I'm not super up on. But, I mean, there are some people that overlapped with Michigan people. I want to say the band Jax might have had some Kalamazoo connection.
Got it.
But they were, like, Chicago for a while, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Speaking of old 90s bands... we had some news drop on us. Like, I was not aware this was going to happen, and it's been big news this week in my circles, at least. I mean, you know, obviously it's not treason news.
No, it's not colluding with the foreign government.
That is the other podcast that maybe I would, if I knew more about it, I would be down to do a political podcast, but I'm basically...
You don't have to do a podcast.
Yeah, I'm listening to other people and like learning from them because I do not know policy stuff. I do not know intricacies of like what, you know, constitution... What laws. Is a crisis, you know?
Maybe you could call it policy wink.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of policy wonk.
Yeah.
See?
Huh.
Yeah.
If there's probably a policy twink podcast that someone could do.
Probably. By just SupDoc existing by itself means you don't have to really know your subject matter very well to do a podcast.
Let's remind everyone that we don't know anything, that we are not film critics.
No.
We are.
I took one film class in college, I think my freshman year. It was awesome, though. It was one of the, and that's what got me into documentaries. But no, I don't know anything about documentaries. I just love
them. I didn't finish a class in documentary film, but I took a class in documentary film, I think maybe for like 3 or 4 weeks. And I remember one of them, it was like anthropological film, and just watching this video of... it's an African film, and they're hunting down a giraffe, and they strip the giraffe of its meat. And I was maybe I don't know if I was the only person there who just started thinking about, what am I going to have for lunch?
Eating.
Yeah, exactly. While I was watching that, I'm like, I don't think that's the point of this. It's not a culinary exercise in giraffe meat, but,
we've teased our opener.
Yeah,
so
let's talk about it. So Jawbreaker, a band that broke up, I want to say 96, 97, probably 96. I remember seeing them near the end, and I think that was in 96. There is a documentary called Don't Break Down that has been in the works for a very long time. I know that a lot of the principal shooting was done in 2007, but it is debuting at Alamo Drafthouse on August 11th, San Francisco Alamo Drafthouse. Which is, ironically, or not ironically, that's where Adam, the drummer for Jawbreaker, now has Lost Weekend Video, is now inside of the Alamo Drafthouse. So a lot of cross-promotion can be happening there.
There is a lot of cross-promotion in there. And he was a guest.
He's been a guest on
our podcast.
He's, I think, the only two-time guest we've had. We've had two Adam times. On. He was on our live show about San Francisco 2.0. Which was our first live show. First time we did a live show.
Right.
Adam was a guest on that. And we also talked to him episode 5 about Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck.
Oh, good.
And
good memory.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, he ran the whole comedy show that I ran at Lost Weekend Video in the basement, the Cine Cave, that all started thanks to Adam and Dave and Christy. So, yeah.
Right on. And if you go, if you have not listened to episode 5, the Kurt Cobain Montage of Heck, you really should, because it is super informative. And Jawbreaker toured with
Nirvana,
Kurt Cobain and Nirvana, and he has a lot to talk about there. And then on our page, on our website page, it's this sweet picture of Kurt Cobain wearing a Jawbreaker T-shirt, which Adam sent us, which was pretty
sweet. Yeah, Adam, I know I went to his spot that he's had since Jawbreaker was a band. He has the same apartment, and he's got all this Jawbreaker memorabilia. There's so much. It's crazy how, let's say, okay, it's been 21 years since they were a band that played live. So yeah, 96, I was right. So there's like 21-year-olds, 19-year-olds that have never gotten to see Jawbreaker that are probably losing their shit. Because they're also playing September 15th, 17th for Riot Fest in Chicago. I do not have a ticket to that.
That'd be awesome.
Considered it, but so I was gonna say the only insight I have on this, and I don't think Adam remembers or knows this. I knew Keith Chiron, who passed away recently, who with Tim Irwin they made the Minutemen documentary, We Jam Econo, and this was their second project they were doing after that. So this was like back in 2007, it was a big thing that they were like, okay, what we're doing is we're getting these three guys from this band together, like 11 years after the band broke up, and get a room together, doing interviews with them. They actually rehearsed old songs. This is the first time the three of them had played together since like 96. So this was like all caught on film for this project. And people, like different people, like I was there. I just kind of like was like, can I just fucking hang out in the control room? So I didn't really know Adam then. I mean, he probably recognized me from coming in the video store, but that was about it. So he probably doesn't remember that I was there for this. But yeah, I heard some of the interview, and gosh, who was there? Billy Anderson, the producer who worked on the early records, was there. They were just like, they had the tapes. They had like I think they were like half inch tapes of the sessions from Dear You and I want to say from 24 Hour Revenge Therapy. So yeah, they were like playing, listening back to tracks like Song Exploder style, and then like going back in this room and jamming together. So when they've been talking about doing reunion, I'm like, I know that they have played together since they broke up. I'm like, when this reunion is inevitably going to happen. Anyway, I don't know.
That's so cool.
Big fan. I don't have a tattoo or anything, but I have friends that have tattoos of this band.
And there's no better symbol of being a fan than tattoos.
Yeah, and I watched the trailer. It's a good trailer, and I got like a little emotional because I was just thinking about how, like, you know, Keith was, you know, a good guy that I've known kind of since like high school, and you know, it's a huge loss. But it is also, I think, you know, I talked to Adam about it after Keith died. And at that point, like, he didn't even know when this thing was coming out. But I kind of feel like that gave it a little bit of this thing really should come out.
Sure.
So.
And he was a director, producer?
Yeah. Him and Tim Irwin worked together on all this. And, you know, We Jam Econo, great film, if you haven't seen that.
It's a cult classic.
Definitely. Yeah. It's kind of in a similar vein, I think. Like even the trailer even has like footage of like Adam driving around in a van. That seems to be like their awesome Double Nickels on the Dime tribute that they've been doing since that.
Right.
Love that album. Having someone tell you a story about, oh, that building. I know that building. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah.
Very cool.
August 11th, Alamo Drafthouse. Get a ticket. They're all three of them, I think, are going to be there. We should be actually moderating that if no one else has a moderator for that. For the Q&A for that.
Yeah, Adam.
Yeah, have Paco and me do it. I'll come up for that.
God, that would be awesome. Yeah. Or just
Tim will be there is what I'm thinking. The director will be there. So that'll be probably how that goes down. But yeah, that'll be the second time we've done a crossover with Alamo because Pat Spurgeon and Jim Granato did their screening of Detour and at the Alamo Draft House.
And our current episode that's out right now is with an Alamo Draft House programmer.
That's right, Brett Berg. We did Decline of Western Civilization Part 2, The Metal Years, the funniest of them. That's like, I think it is like...
It is.
It is also like, I think we talked about this. It is interesting to think about that as like a precursor to when... Yeah.
It is, completely a precursor to where, and I was just listening to a recent Marc Maron podcast with an old friend who's a business music producer, and they talk about that documentary briefly, though, because it's so iconic and it's so amazing, because his buddy was like in Candy.
Okay. I heard this interview. I forgot the name of the guy, but I think I listened to that Maron.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, they talk briefly about
right. He was a metal guy, and then he became like the guy who signed all the emo bands, and I think Fall Out Boy was one of his projects.
Yep, that's it.
God, speaking of the music industry, can I? This leads into what the next week's episode is going to be, which is July 24th. We are going to be talking about the documentary Muscle Shoals, and our guest,
with
Howard Kramer.
Kramer.
I think we both said both of them.
We get into it.
But yeah, Howard Kramer, like host of Who Charted, from Austin Stories. He has a very varied career, but a very funny guy. Oh, yeah. Music guy, he's awesome. Dragon Boy Suede. Probably, he's one of the early podcasters.
Rapper. Yeah. Super creative, very nice, so talented. It was so nice that he found time to come sit with us in kind of a warm day in Los Feliz.
And I had actually never seen him do stand-up until recently. So he's a very funny stand-up as well. He did your show. That's how we got to know each other. But he just kind of hit me up randomly. I'm like, I haven't ever seen this guy do stand-up. I know he's funny, but very funny stand-up.
Yeah. I saw Dragon Boy Suede in the, I guess we determined the Comedians of Comedy Tour at the Independent.
That is old school. Yeah, it's a while ago.
That's old school. Brent Weinbach orchestrated fart noises.
That sounds accurate.
That night.
That sounds like exactly the kind of thing he would do.
In a fur coat, actually, as well.
Were you kind of around the same time Brent was around? Okay.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the first time I ever did an open mic, it was me, Brent, and Reggie Steele. And that was the first time I ever did stand-up. And Kasim was there when Kasim still had braces.
Wait, I've never seen photos of this. Kasim went...
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, he used to have braces.
That explains something. I know. Possibly. Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah,
he has nice teeth. Maybe explains his nice teeth. But this is big news. Howard Kramer, Muscle Shoals, Monday, July 24th. And if you haven't seen Muscle Shoals, you really should. It's a great documentary, especially if you're a music fan. You should definitely get into it because they get into music, they get into the history of the area, they get into R&B and jazz and blues and rock. It's really great.
Yeah, and I watched it on Hulu. I'm sure you can find it other places, but that was the easiest for me.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime. Hulu.
And I learned a lot about this main guy, Rick Hall. He's kind of the figure that's responsible for a lot of the stuff that happens there. And this format, I don't know. Like, it's interesting because I'm also watching The Defiant Ones on HBO. And the formats are kind of similar formats in that it's like, establishing interview shots, someone at their house. Right. I mean,
chronological.
But also stuff that has really nitty gritty, like behind the scenes, like how people figured out how to mix a sound a certain way. Like how someone figured out like how mic placement was going to affect their sound.
Just
like, Dr. Dre learning, getting his first Newmark mixer, that kind of thing. So if you're really into how nitty gritty and detailed that stuff is, I personally have been like trying to research, like I started listening to like, an old Aphex Twin record and just being like, how did he do this like in 1995? I have no idea like what was he using.
You need a minimum of couple of large bedrooms. With
compared to like now. I mean, just like now, it's like, okay, you have a patch, whatever. Yeah. But like, it just.
Yeah. Reason.
I mean, there is some really insane footage of Square Pusher, like how he was making tracks. In like the early 90s. It's just like, a couple of. And playing bass at the same time. That's a bass dude. Yeah.
Have you ever seen him live, dude?
I saw some here YouTube in San Francisco. Footage of him just like all that slapping, so much slapping.
Yeah. Well, like he was a good, I worked at Ubiquity Records here in SF, and we had him in a couple times for shows, and he was a friend of the label. I think we actually put out one of his singles. But yeah, what's his name? Tom? Tom something.
Gosh, yeah, I'm blanking on his real name, but I think he just came through town again recently. Yeah, that's the thing. Like you and I are both like record guys and like music guys. So like all these music documentaries, like we can geek out on these in a
sure. They're kind of tough because it's like it's historical and chronological. So there's not a lot of like it's not a lot of meat on the you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of it's really interesting, but there's not a lot of like whoa. Right.
It's like
what
it's
the fuck
it's like
moment,
technically
you know?
It is its own commentary on the art itself. So with like us right. adding a layer of commentary to their commentary is maybe right, but like right. I don't think it's like redundant. I think that it's you know, we go no. over stuff with our guests and sometimes we just pull in like some personal information. Like I think we end up talking to Howard a lot about his musical upbringing, and he has a hip-hop podcast of like old radio recordings and we got in talked about that a little bit. So it's just tap into what someone's enthusiastic about, because we don't have any new information. We don't have any like behind the scenes for like these Muscle Shoals. We weren't hanging out with Aretha Franklin or whatever, you know. So, Muscle Shoals, real interesting slice of music history, Alabama.
Yeah, watch the doc and then tune in Monday, July 24th for our interview with Howard Kremer.
And what else have you been watching? Because I started talking about Defiant Ones. I'm not done. I'm like in the middle of the second one. It's four parts.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I don't have HBO and I can't even find it on Kodi, so I guess I'll have to figure out some way of watching it. But I just watched The Keepers.
Is this
the
Nun
Netflix.
One?
Six part.
Oh,
this
fuck.
Is the Nun one. Six part series. It's pretty fucking nuts. I gotta say, it's not making a murderer nuts. It's not at that level, which is still, to my mind, like the best crime investigative documentary there is. But it's good. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's not great. It's good. The first episode, I would think, unfortunately, a lot of people probably won't watch the second episode because the first episode is really kind of boring. And you're like, but by the second episode, you're like, oh, God, what? And then
Is it really grisly? Because I feel like this is one reason I'm not watching some of these is like when I'm watching stuff with my girlfriend, it's like, you know, a certain amount of gore. She got through. No. The Jinx, because I'd referenced it so much and she'd never seen it. I'm like, once you get through episode one, I don't think you're going to get too freaked out. That's like all the body parts is in episode one.
Right. This one has no crime photos. You never see a body. They blur it. It's not gory. The story alone, though, will fucking freak you out. I mean, it's mostly the story because it's gruesome. The guy's a fucking.
So there's a cover up. There's a guy who's a main suspect.
And
they're good at covering things up. That's
like its thing. Woo, boy, are they good at covering shit up. They've had 500 years of fucking, you know, rehearsals. And, you know, they've been doing it for a long time. They're very good at it. And on top, I mean, we just all heard the story about the Vatican and the Vatican police breaking up the gay meth orgy.
I did not read that story. I think I saw the headline. Yeah.
Oh, you haven't? Yeah. So, you know, as, you know, the world turns, things stay the same. But, yeah, watch The Keepers. It's really good. Man, and, you know, Netflix is just jamming right now. There's so many great docs on Netflix. Yeah. So, yeah, check out
Netflix
The Keepers.
Is, like, changing a lot of how films are being presented. I know there was, like, when Okja showed at Cannes, I guess, people, like, booed the screen when Netflix's name came up. Because it's like,
No.
Did that happen? Did you hear about that? Yeah.
Oh wow.
Well, it's just like traditional.
Who
just
would boot Netflix?
Traditional
Netflix
like
awesome.
Film people like are scared of it. I can kind of. It's like I can understand that. Yeah.
They have so
they're
much money.
Bidding.
They have so much money, and they have no desire or reason to let their numbers out. So you know, no one knows how many people are watching what. You know, there's no Nielsen rating for Netflix.
I think they're doing
Netflix.
A good job. It does seem like okay, when I watched like Glow, I started watching Glow and I'm like, okay, they were like, you know what people like? Women in leotards. And Stranger Things proved that people love the 80s. So let's jam those together. And yeah. I guess Marin must do well on Netflix because like he actually is good in that show. I think that's like one of the better roles.
Is he good? Because
yeah, I mean, they just have him playing him. So it works out pretty well. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the Marin show, but I mean, the TV show.
No. But so yeah. Bad. Yeah, as much as I love Marc Maron and I love his podcast, is my favorite podcast of all time. Yeah,
yeah, I don't know what it is. It just is like there is like an undiluted amount of him in that show. And
Yeah. You can also hear him acting. That's the problem. It's like I can see him looking at his lines in his mind's eye. You know what I'm saying? Like he doesn't fade into the scene where you think you forget you're watching people act. That's my big problem.
I remember that we had you really didn't like Master of None first season. Did you even watch the second season?
No. I didn't even get through the first three
episodes. Because I actually stood by the first season, but now I'm wondering if I kind of maybe should reevaluate that because the second season was rough. It was rougher than the first season by a lot.
And I mean, I'll never take away from an artist trying something and putting himself out there. And Aneez Ansari did it, and that's fucking kudos. But still, it's hard for me to get past bad acting. Especially there was a friend.
Yeah,
I think his friend,
Asian friend
in that show. Yeah. Oh man, I couldn't watch a scene with him in it. I was just like,
I will say there's like for me. Yeah.
Not that I'm.
Well, there's two bottle episodes in season two that are good. And if you just watch those independently, you'd be like, oh, why don't they just make pilots out of these? These shows could be like pilots for their own shows. And those are the good ones. So anyway, we sidetracked into non-documentary stuff. Yeah.
One more point, if I may. And this is only if someone from Netflix is listening and is an executive and can make things happen. George and I should have our own show, like an after a documentary show where we do sup doc, but on film.
Oh, video recap. Yeah.
After the doc.
I mean.
Yeah. Like exactly what we do. We'd have Howard on, and right after you watch Muscle Shoals, you can see us interview Howard.
I think if Netflix does not go for it, I would go with any of the other streaming services. If you work for any streaming service, honestly, if you just want us on your podcast where we talk about
documentaries, or in your living room, we'll come to your living room.
Exactly. We will leave you phone messages. We will customize.
Yes. Speaking of phone messages.
Good segue.
Yeah. There we go. So, folks, sup doc listeners, what we're trying to, like, we want people who listen to our show to have an active part in it. So we've asked people to call us, not call us, but leave a review on their own phone and then email us that review. So make it like a minute to 2 minutes and just talk about your favorite documentary, why you love it, how you're connected to it, why you would recommend it, what's the crazy twists and turns that it has, and then email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.
I think you can go longer than 2 minutes if you want to just tell us whatever thing is on your mind. We'll indulge you here. This is a safe space.
This is super safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're among friends here. So, yeah, you don't have to worry about the time, but just say your name and what the doc is and why you love it and why you would recommend it to people. And a case in point, or is it point in case? It's case in point. I always get those two. We have Dina here who recorded a review about Mommy, Dead, and Dearest. And if you haven't seen
Lord. I have not seen it. I'm crazy. Looking forward to seeing it. I want to hear what Dina has to say about it.
What's up, Doc? Woo! I love you guys. Longtime listener, first-time caller. I'm just a big, big fan of the show. I love documentaries, and I have just seen one, Mommy, Dead, and Dearest on HBO produced it, and they just did such a good job. I mean, they get all into, you know, these two, the mom and the daughter, and my heart really goes out to the daughter, who is now incarcerated, but, you know, I feel sorry for her. She has just been subjugated to a lifetime of the most bizarre physical and mental abuse. It's unimaginable, you know, her life, what she had been through, and then it's kind of, you know, really forcing her reality is so skewed by you know, these drugs and her mom sort of sheltering her and to the point where it's like, well, of course, you know, she's escaping into these Disney movies and, you know, what other way was this young girl going to see her way out but with, you know, a sort of white knight scenario come along to slay the dragon? And I'm sorry to say, you know, that's exactly what happens. And do I think that the mom deserved her fate? Well, you know, that's what happened. It's not for me to say, but I you know, I don't have a lot of sympathy for the mother. I feel, you know, she does have the Baron Munchausen's by proxy. And I do relate to that because, you know, you can kind of understand, like, if you have ever been beautiful or rich and famous or pregnant, and then one day you find you are not so anymore, well, you've just gone from being, you know, a very special person and treated accordingly to just sort of one of the 7 billion people on this planet. And, you know, what a fall from grace. I think, you know, you look at these photos of her as a young woman. I don't know if she was like a beauty queen or what, but she is, you know, gorgeous. And I'm sorry to say, but she lost her looks. And I think her whole weird game was driven by vanity and that need for attention that was, you know, in the past maybe satisfied by her looks. But, you know, she lost them. And I don't know, so many people say, you know, rap music is making our children disrespectful. Well, in this case, you can clearly say, you know, I blame the mom and Disney movies. It's just, it's a great slice of American life gone completely haywire. And I would love if y'all would explore it on your show. Big fan. I'm Dina down here in Waycross, Georgia. Y'all have a great day and keep pumping them out. All right.
So thank you, Dina. Thank you, Dina. That's awesome. And man, everyone should watch that documentary, Mommy, Dead, and Dearest.
I do want to do a full episode on it. I think we will do a full episode on it. And
Yeah.
Some of these are coming out so quick that, like, we've got a backlog of interviews. So I don't know when we're going to get to them, but that one's like kind of big in the news. Defiant Ones is kind of big in the news right now. So we get to stuff. We'll get to stuff eventually.
We'll get to it. Yeah, there's just two of us. And speaking of which, if you would like us to get to things quicker, support us through our Patreon page. Because we have, what, seven,
yeah, we've
eight
got,
supporters
look,
now?
Look, if we can make it to 10,
six, seven?
I'm going to say this.
Oh, God.
Number 10, awesome. Whoever you are.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll send you,
I
don't know, cookies or something. We'll mail you a cookie. Just one cookie.
George and I will do a comedy show. How about that?
That is actually, I believe, our upper tier, like $100 level. We do have like a level where we would do that. And we would put you on the list to our shows.
Right. Something along those lines. Speaking of comedy shows, George has a new comedy CD.
Yeah.
That is
out. I call it an EP because it's a half hour. And sure. I like to think of it like kind of like, you know, when a band puts out a 10-inch before they put out an LP. But yeah, that's like, it's called Word Origami. And it is available to our Patreon supporters at the $5 level. if you sign up for $5 a month, you get my recording. You get some buttons. You get some fun stuff. No, I think that's 10. You're at the $10.
Too, right?
We could add you to this. You want to be on the 5? We can put you on the 5.
Fancy.
We'll figure
it
out.
Sure. Mine's an EP too. Yeah. Mine's like 35 minutes. So, samesies. You get basically an hour of George and I talking.
Which you
funny.
Already get for free.
Funny talk.
But, you know, my thing. Yeah, my thing. My recording I did at Lost Weekend Video, the aforementioned Lost Weekend Video, before it closed at the Valencia Street location. And I got a nice write-up in KQED Arts from Kevin Jones. Thank you for that. It's on all the streaming services. I just found out I'm on Tidal. That's something. My thing is on Tidal.
That's awesome.
Like, you know, that service that everyone listens to comedy on. And I'm, you know, trying to get it some other places. If you, you know, are work at a radio station or something, want to play it, just message us and I'll send it to you. Should we play a track from that? Is that okay? Let's play.
Yes, we should.
I haven't figured out what it is yet, but let's just play it.
I was in LA doing a show, and this comic came up to me. Didn't really know her. She was like, "Hey, I heard you run this show in the basement of a video store in San Francisco. Maybe I can add you on Facebook so I can hit you up for a show when I come up there." And I was like, "You can't. Can't do it. Maxed out. 5,000 friends. I am friends with like 6 dead people on Facebook, though. They're not really updating anymore. What I could do is defriend one of my dead friends so I can add you. So you can hit me up for a show next time you come to San Francisco. Is that what I should do?" What I'm saying is follow me on Twitter, you guys, at George the Chen. That's my Twitter handle. Don't wear it out. No one has. Cool.
Boom. Okay, that was me. That was me awesome. Over a year ago. So I have I've been trying to write like new jokes. Ago. And you know, I've there maybe written like 4. So yeah, it
it's
is
not easy.
Ugh.
That's what I'm doing right now, dude. I'm fucking woodshedding it, trying to write a new.
I just found the
minutes.
Equivalent of the brainwash down here for open mics.
Oh, really?
No, Tribal Cafe. It's in kind of an echo park. It's it is. I walked in there. Mm-hmm. There's like 4 people. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, this is pretty much the brainwash scene of down here. So it is what it is. Maybe you had better brainwashed experiences than I have.
Well, I was back in the day, so like there was usually like 4 comedians and no audience, so it was fine because you know there would be, and there, the only other open mic was Big L's at Club Deluxe, so there was only 2 open mic, and then Annie's Social Club started going on.
It's too bad Deluxe is gone. Yeah, I don't know.
Now there's hundreds.
Deluxe. That was a good room.
I know. It was awesome, but the guy died, and the new owner didn't want comedy in there.
People keep the people that like comedy keep dying.
Yes, it's not you don't live long.
That happened with me at this venue. We started doing a show at GOK's on 40th and Broadway in Oakland, and then like the guy who liked it died, and then the other co-owner was like, "Nah, I don't want. I'm making money either way. Why have a bunch of jackasses in here talking?" So yeah,
right. Yeah, that happened. Did you want to talk
Vivian
Meyer?
I did find
a
news item about Vivian Meyer. We did the episode on finding Vivian Meyer with Esther Koo last year.
Esther.
And there's been an update on that. The guy, Josh Maloof, the guy who found the storage locker with all her negatives, he was kind of been acting as her... kind of like, I guess, broker, posthumous manager and getting her stuff everywhere. But there is an issue because the argument is that he does not have the rights to reproduce any of the photography or sell prints or make other, you know, secondary, like, you know, merch. So the argument is he only owns these negatives and individual prints and cannot really profit off of it. And there's another collector who also has some of her stuff who, and then there's like a cousin that they tracked down, that he supposedly paid like $5,000 to, at the beginning of this whole process. And then another cousin of Vivian Myers has come out of the woodwork. Uh-oh. So there's really no will, there's really no establishment of an estate. And she didn't sign the waiver that sometimes people do have on storage lockers where you would get the rights to, you know, you'd hand over copyrights and stuff. She didn't sign that waiver. Right. So,
weird. What about her like subject matters?
No,
like, none of them
there's no release forms from any of those people either. And like, I don't know that anyone's been able to track down all the people that are in the photos, but technically that is like the other weird thing, right? Like technically she owns the copyright. Yeah. On those photos, even though those people never signed releases. So she.
Right.
Yeah. Had no errors, so that's really.
Episode 37? Yes, episode 37, Finding Vivian Maier with comedian Esther Koo. That was a fun talk. Listen to that. Watch that.
That is doc. Maloof is the guy who made that doc. He produced it. It's almost like a way to like get all that stuff out there. But also, like, yeah, like documenting smart him kid. Finding. Smart that's like kid. One of the only good Storage Wars type finds you'll hear about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then there's Finders Keepers.
We should have done. We should do a whole storage series.
But the
hoarding series, yeah.
We should do a storage series. Yeah, we should. And it would be, we did Mayhem, a month of May of Mayhem, so maybe we could do.
Yeah, I like that you September tweeted out, no, I don't know if that was you on the Twitter, like just like the kind of, like the topics that we do. Like
Because
we do cover a lot of different topics of documentaries. I've had people say, oh, you guys just do music docs, right? I'm like, no, we don't just do music docs. We do kind of a lot of things.
No.
I'll put it out there now. We were talking about this. I don't know if we're going to for sure do this, but I kind of want to do The Secret.
Oh, yeah. I would not mind doing The Secret. It literally changed my life, and I'm not being facetious about that. I had 47 cents. I moved back home as a 37-year-old man and lived with my mom in Michigan and had like 47 cents. And was watching, my buddy paid me $100 to watch his house for him for a week in the winter, and he had a stack of Netflix DVDs, and I saw this thing called The Secret, and I thought it was a Tom Cruise, like whodunit kind of thing. So I flipped it in the DVD player, and it was The Secret, and I made a dream board. And that later that week, I got my first voiceover gig where a guy paid me $100 per voiceover to do, and he had a year's worth of it for me, and then I got hired by Killing My Lobster to be their managing director that next week.
Whoa.
And both of those things were on my dream board. Voiceover and working, making money being a creative person.
Wow. I also lived with my mom briefly at the age of 37, but it was after I broke my leg.
No way!
And I just had no one else that would be able to take care of me, and it was like my place had stairs. So, yeah, I ended up spending like a very dark, very dark month. But I did watch all of Game of Thrones in that month. I'm like,
there you go. It's not fun back in with mom.
Thankfully, she was at 37. You know, helping me out with stuff. And like, I guess they were parallel.
That's awesome.
We were maybe having parallel weird 37s, but it got better. You know what? Once you like are able to walk after having a broken leg, everything gets better. So the rest of the year was fine.
That's true. Yeah, I would like to. And it seems like we both have a connection to Jack Canfield.
Wait, what was your connection to Jack?
Chicken Soup for the Soul guy. Who?
Okay.
I know his nephew really well. Yeah, I know his nephew, and that's one of the reasons why I ended up not believing him, but watching more fervently The Secret, because he's in it, and I know his nephew, and his nephew's talked about him, so I'm like, I actually kind of know this.
That's funny.
I
have a connection to this guy. I have no direct connection to him. I know his son, who has written a memoir where he kind of, Jack doesn't come off in the best light in his memoir. That's Orrin Canfield. He used to live in San Francisco. Musician, now lives in New York. He's in the band Child Abuse, and his relationship with his dad is not so good. At least it wasn't, as far as the memoir goes. But yeah, I'm curious about The Secret. I'm going in with a little bit of a cynical thing, but I think what we should do is like you, me, and another guest. We all do The Secret for a month, and then we talk about it. So that's what that's what I'm suggesting. Yeah, maybe
Secret
that's
September.
That's coming up. So
that
could be the next thing we do.
I'm all about positive.
I need
intentions.
To learn how to be positive. So this is like a major difference. I feel like every time we watch a documentary, you're like, I like the guy that was a hero and succeeded. And I'm like, I liked his enemy.
Right.
I feel like you would root for Mozart and I would root for Salieri. That's kind of like what our vibes
yes.
are. And Will's
awesome.
Not there, so
well now we have
Will.
Right, we have our new because we're talking about trying to change up our logo. So now we have at least something to give our creative director,
if you are a fan of the show and you want to take a crack at designing a logo for us, hey, if you're good at designing websites,
please
really get in touch.
Do it. Yeah, If you can illustrate and or design and, websites, let's talk. Speaking of websites, go to our website.
After we just were like, look, it's not okay. You're gonna see some stuff, and it's gonna be interesting.
It might be frightening to you. You may not know. It's we use CompuServe, so it's fun. But so let's sign off, shall we?
Until next time. Yeah,
I think that's it.
Yeah, see you on Muscle Shoals Day. Bye.
Yes. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Bye.